Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Dawn Cherie Wilkerson.
We're going to start in chapter 1 of Acts, verse 4. It says this, "And while staying with them," meaning Jesus, "he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" The book of Titus, chapter 3, says this, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." And tonight, I want to talk to you on this thought of the Spirit. Of the Spirit. Will you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you that you brought all of us together. You know our stories. You know what we carried into this place, and you love us. So right now, we lower our guard. We open up our hearts, and we ask you to speak to us. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Now, there's a common conversation in circles of faith that have been going on for a very long time. It's this conversation of religion versus relationship. How many of you know the two are very different? Religion is what you do, and relationship is who you know. And in Acts chapter 1, we see this incredible catalyst of an encounter, not with religion or ritual or repetition, but we see an encounter with a relationship with God that is truly the catalyst for the formation of the early church. Acts sets the stage for all that is to come in history for the church. And we find ourselves in the setting, in the aftermath of the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has been to the cross. He's been crucified. He's been placed in the tomb. 3 days later, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And his life was resurrected. But he didn't immediately ascend to heaven. No, he stayed here on earth. For 40 days, historical accounts tell us of eyewitnesses who saw Jesus walk the earth after he resurrected to life. And he continued to do miracles, and he continued to lead the disciples. And before he ascended to heaven, he told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem. And he said this, he said, "John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You will receive power, and you will become witnesses." And so we read about these men and women, ordinary men and women, just like you, just like me, who decided to trust the promises of Jesus. So after he ascends, it says that they go and they gather in Jerusalem in an upper room, in just a normal room like this, an upper room. And the Bible says as they wait for the gift of the Spirit, that they devote themselves to prayer. They just say, while we're here, we're going to pray. We're going to trust. We're going to believe God. And all of a sudden, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, that like a mighty rushing wind, the Spirit of God fills the upper room, that tongues of fire rest upon them, and they begin to speak languages that they have never spoken before. They are all speaking different languages, and within the city of Jerusalem at that time, this was a center of all religious activity for the Jews, and there were people from other countries that were there at the time, and all of a sudden, they start to hear their native language being spoken. And not only do they hear their language being spoken, but they actually hear their language being spoken as people declare the miraculous work of God. And all of a sudden, Peter, who is just an ordinary man, he's overwhelmed by the Spirit of God, and he's empowered with a boldness from heaven. He stands up in the middle of everyone and starts to preach. What do you mean preach? He starts to declare the message of Jesus. He starts to declare that Jesus was crucified, that he was placed in the tomb, and that he was resurrected to new life. And we read in Acts chapter 2 This incredible move of God that occurs, and as Peter preaches the word, 3,000 people surrender their life to Jesus in that moment. Is that not incredible? The beginning of the early church, the catalyst that prepared and propelled the church forward into its beautiful future. And you say, how did it happen? Well, it wasn't an act of man. It wasn't an act of any of the women there. It wasn't an act of religion. It wasn't an act that was due to their preparation or education. This was an act of the Spirit. This was an act of the Spirit. Zechariah says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Hear me tonight. The Holy Spirit is not a percentage. He's a person. He is a person that you were created to walk with every moment of your life. And it's not like the person next to you has 95% of the Spirit of God. Oh, they're blazing with the glory of God. They are on fire. And you're just trying to work with a meager 5%. No. The Holy Spirit is a person. So the question that we have to ask is, who is this person, the Holy Spirit? I feel like we have a really good grasp of God the Father. That he created all, that he is our Father, that he loves us so much that he sent his only Son. The second part of the Godhead, the Trinity, Jesus, that Jesus gave everything. But who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the third part of this Godhead? And what is his significance in our life as Christ followers? See, Jesus was a friend to all he encountered as he walked this earth. As you open up your Bibles, you begin to read the first few books of the New Testament, you'll discover how intimate Jesus was with the people that he encountered. He went straight to the pain in their life. He went straight to their issues. He wasn't afraid of what they were facing. He was a friend to every single person he encountered. He was all God and he was all man. He was a friend to the isolated. He was a friend to the sick. He was a friend to those that no one wanted to be associated with. He was a friend to sinners. Can I get an amen? He was a friend to all. But the truth of the matter is that Jesus was limited by a human body, meaning that he could only be in one place at one time. So before he ascended to heaven, he looks at his followers and he promises that he will send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will teach us all things. Come on, say all things. That sounds pretty good, right? The Holy Spirit would teach us all things. And Jesus says, and he'll remind you of these things that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a gift to fill every single believer in Christ throughout all the generations. When are you filled with the same power that conquered the grave? The moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus. The moment you surrender your life to Jesus is the moment that you'll never walk alone again. You've got a friend to walk with you through every single season of life. Are you thankful tonight for the presence of the Holy Spirit? Why did God send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit? So that you would know that it's not just about looking back to what Jesus did while he was on this earth, but so that you would have the power to know that God wants to do greater works through you, that you have a destiny, you have a purpose, you have a unique calling, and the best is ahead for your life. Come on, do you believe it in this house tonight? The Holy Spirit is a gift to you. And his relationship will change everything about your life. We don't just see the work of the Holy Spirit right there in Acts chapter 2. No, go all the way back to the very first book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Holy Spirit's on the scene in creation. The Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And as you continue to read scripture, you see the Spirit of God time and time again. The Holy Spirit creates life. Psalms 104 says it this way: when you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. The Spirit of God doesn't just create life, it sustains life. Job 34 says, if he should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together and man would return to dust. We read that Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary through the Spirit of God. We see that Jesus was led into temptation by the Spirit, led into the wilderness to be tempted by the Spirit. We see that Jesus walked into ministry as a young man for the first time, empowered by the Spirit. We read time and time again of the miracles that Jesus did, and the Bible tells us that he did them by the power of the Spirit. So let me ask you tonight, if Jesus walked in the Spirit to accomplish his mission here on earth, why do we think that we can operate outside of the Spirit in our everyday lives? If Jesus was filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit as he went into the wilderness to overcome temptation, why do you and I think that we can overcome temptation just by our own willpower? If Jesus was filled with the Spirit as he stepped into ministry, he was empowered by the Spirit. Why do we think that we can just step into ministry with our education, with our knowledge, with our intellect? And if Jesus did the miraculous through the power of the Spirit, why do we think that we can see miracles occur through our giftings and through our own strength? No, friend, it's only by the power of the Spirit. It's only by the power of the Spirit that we can truly live the life that you and I were created to live. See, the first thing that we've got to realize about living a life that is led of the Spirit is that the Spirit empowers. The Spirit empowers you in every area of your life. You say, how does it empower? Well, it gives you the power to become. That sounds good, right? The power to become. Let me tell you, when you encounter the presence of the Holy Spirit, who you are today is not who you will be in the future. The power of the Holy Spirit is able to change everything about your life. The same power that transformed you initially is the same power that will transform you progressively and constantly and faithfully and patiently. You are filled with the power of the Spirit. What is the power to become? Well, the power to become is the power that took some fishermen that Jesus saw on the seashore and make them the pillars of the early church. The power to become is the power that took Paul, a murderer who hated Christians and was killing them. And one experience with the presence of God created a power within him to walk away from the past and to walk into the light of Jesus Christ, to carry the gospel from nation to nation, city to city, with a boldness to declare that Jesus is alive. The power to become is the power that touched Mary Magdalene, one of the early followers of Jesus, who was tormented by 7 demons and suddenly freed through relationship with Jesus. She, as a woman, was chosen to be the very first carrier of the gospel message, the first preacher in history to declare to the world, he is risen. You say, how does that happen? It happens through the power of the Spirit. It happens through the power to become. I don't know where you stand today. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know the labels that people have put on you or what's been spoken over you before you walk through these doors. But let me tell you the power that rests within your life. You are not your own. You belong to the Creator of the world. And what he has placed within you, he will bring to fruition. He is patient with his children. He is faithful to lead. He is patient to guide. And every step of the way, by the power of the Spirit, he will empower you with the power to become. Why does he empower us? Why does he give us the power to become? Well, Jesus said it really clearly. He said, you will receive power to become my witnesses. See, you receive power to witness of the life-changing power of Jesus. You say, what does witness mean? I mean, is this just door-to-door witnessing? Like, what are we talking about here? Well, if you saw a car wreck, what would you be asked to do? You'd be asked to recount what you saw. That's exactly what we read in Acts chapter 2. Peter stands up under the power of God, and he simply tells the world what he saw. I know Jesus. I walked with him. I watched him crucified on a tree. I watched him placed in a grave. I watched him resurrect to new life. And if you will put your faith and trust in him, you can have a brand new life. Let me tell you, God doesn't need you to exaggerate the story. God doesn't need you to elaborate the story. God simply needs you to open up your mouth and be a witness to what he has done in your life. Has he set you free? Has he given you peace? Has he given you hope? Has he given you a new beginning? Has he given you the joy of the Lord that's your strength? Can you testify tonight? Come on, is anybody a witness in this house? It's by the power of the Spirit that we are able to witness. So my question really clearly to you tonight is, what's your story? Does anybody else know your story? Because we all spend a lot of time during the day talking, but what are we talking about? What are we actually talking about? And who are you sharing your encounter with Jesus with? Can tell you about the encounters in my family that my great-grandmother, illiterate in complete poverty, given only months to live by her doctor, walked into an atmosphere of faith, not living for God, and in the power of a moment of worship and a declaration of the message of the gospel, was instantly healed through the power of the Spirit of God. Completely changed everything about our family. Can tell you about my grandfather who left working in the shipyards so that he could provide for his son to go from house to house preaching the gospel and then planted a church that has reached thousands. I could tell you about my grandmother who had my dad at 16 years old, who decided to go back to college while my dad went through high school, who graduated from college the same year my dad graduated from high school, and then decided to start a Christian school with 12 students that now has over 800 students and is flourishing and is thriving. I could tell you about my mom, who lost her dad at a very young age as a baby and who grew up without a father in her life, but yet she says that as she was in kids' church, as she found herself at the altar, that the presence of God was made real to her and that the presence of the Holy Spirit comforted her and met her where she was at and secured her identity in him. I could tell you about my dad who left professional football and walked away from a career so that he could preach the gospel. I could tell you about Rich and I who were in the middle of our miracle, been almost 8 years trying to start a family on the infertility journey. But you know, as we've waited, I don't have to wait to testify about God's goodness till I'm on the other side. I can witness now that he's been faithful to me. He's been so good. And you know, people say, Dawn Sheree, why do you bring that up so often? You know why I testify about it now? Because I know I'm not always going to be in this season. I'm going to be on the other side. But while I'm in it, I'm going to testify that God has been faithful. I'm not on pause. I'm not at a stop sign. God has a purpose for your life. And it's all done through the Spirit. It's all done through the Spirit. Don't you be intimidated by someone's story on your left and your right. Your story is your story. And it doesn't look like anyone else's story. But so often we find ourselves around the dinner table and we're talking about all the junk of what's happened in our day and the people we're angry at and the people that we're bitter towards. How do I know the miraculous stories of my family? They told me. They opened up their mouth and they told me again and again. So what are we talking about? What are the words of our life filled with? Because as a follower of Jesus, I want to encourage you. It may not have been the way you spoke in the past, but now you've been empowered. You've been empowered of the Spirit to be a witness of the glory of God. And the cool thing about walking in the Spirit of God and knowing that you're never alone is that the story doesn't just end when you meet Jesus. No, that's just the beginning. So you have one story of transforming your life, that moment of decision, but then he just continues to expand the story in your life. He continues to bring new freedom. He continues to bring more wisdom. He continues to pour out and lavish his love on you, and you continue to have more to witness about. This is the power of the Spirit. The Spirit empowers, and secondly, if you're taking notes, the Spirit reveals. Truly, the Spirit reveals. What does the Spirit reveal? Well, the Spirit reveals God to you. How else would you know who God is unless he chose to reveal himself to you? We could never force God to reveal himself to us, but he chooses through the power of his Spirit that dwells within us to reveal himself to us. It's called revelation. Rich talked about it a few weeks ago. It sounds so churchy. It sounds so Christianese, this word revelation, but it simply means for something to become real to you. You may have heard it 1,000 times, but then there's that moment where you understand it. And it suddenly becomes real. This is what the Spirit of God does in our lives daily. It's progressive revelation of who God is. Let me explain it this way. I've been married for 10 years now. And when I met Rich and we started dating and then we got engaged, you know, when we got engaged, so many people said to me, Dontree, marriage is hard work. You know, I had my book on marriage. I was going to my premarital classes. And I'm like, yeah, marriage is hard work, but I love him. Fast forward 2 years into that thing, and I'm like, dang. Marriage is hard work, but I love him. Then you fast forward 10 years, and you're like, marriage is hard work, but I love him. That's called progressive revelation. That's what we call progressive revelation. It's funny, but it's like that with God. He reveals and we know it, but then he reveals more and we know it even deeper. So many of us, when we met Jesus, we had our shiny new leather-smelling new Bible. We said, life is hard, but I know I'm not alone. A couple years in, that Bible starts to get a little worn. You're like, life is hard, but I know I'm not alone. You give it a few more years and that Bible may be falling apart, but suddenly your life is more complete than it's ever been. And you're able to say, life is hard, but I know that I am not alone. God will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He's been faithful in the midnight hour. His mercies are new every morning. Every step of the way, he's strengthened me. Every single moment he's allowed me to run with his grace and with his strength. He's been patient. He is able. The Spirit of God dwells within me. Come on, can you witness in this house? It's the presence of God. This is progressive revelation. This is what the Spirit of God does in our life, that we read, but he illuminates. He brings to life. He makes it personal. He applies it to the canvas of our lives. This is the power of the Spirit of God. He reveals who he is, not just in moments like this in church, but every single day, every second he reveals himself to you. What is that called? That's called the presence of God. He is with you. I was speaking to a couple in our church, and last year, they met Jesus for the first time. They have a beautiful family. They came to VU, and they met Jesus. They surrendered their life to Jesus, and this spring, they got the news that cancer had returned to the husband's body. They started to go through chemotherapy again, and this past month, I was in the hospital with them, and I'll never forget after we prayed, she looked at me, and she said, "You know what? It's real. We don't have all the answers. We're not on the other side of this, but we really do have a peace. It's real." You say, what's real? The presence of God made manifest. What does that mean? Real, tangible, there, when you need him. He gives us peace, peace that goes beyond understanding. You say, that doesn't make sense to have peace. They don't have a good report, but peace doesn't have to be understood to be held. And this is who we have in the presence of God. Come on, are you thankful for the presence of God? Let's just thank him in this house tonight. He reveals his spirit to us daily. It's as if when we're walking with the presence of God that we're in a constant classroom. God is teaching us and opening up our eyes in the most ordinary circumstances to his extraordinary grace, his extraordinary presence, his extraordinary love for us. The Bible says the heavens declare his glory. What does that mean? It means all around you is an opportunity to learn the depths of the revelation that awaits you. God seeks through his spirit to reveal who he is, to reveal his presence, and also to reveal his ways to you. Because you know his ways aren't like your ways. His ways are higher. His ways are different. The way that always made sense to you and just comes so natural, he's got a new path for you as you decide to walk in him as a new creation. I love the word, it's so practical. Galatians chapter 5 paints this picture of the two paths, of the flesh and of the spirit. Galatians 5 paints it this way. It says, "But I say, walk by the spirit," paints a picture of a path. "And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and yes, they are. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. This is our past life. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." But it's like he says, hey, there's another way. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So clearly there are two ways painted, and I want you to hear me tonight. Maybe somewhere along the journey you've lost your way and you've said, my way is better. And you found yourself broken once again. You found yourself disillusioned and dissatisfied with life. I want you to know the Holy Spirit has not given up on you. He still speaks to you. You may have shut out his voice, but tonight if you'll open up your heart to him, he wants to show you a way that is higher. He wants to show you a way that is better. And he wants to change your life from the inside out. We all miss the mark at times. But the power of the Spirit within us is this. Is that as the Holy Spirit begins to shape our lives, suddenly we don't think the way that we used to think. Suddenly the way that we used to talk with our girlfriends, it just doesn't make sense anymore. Suddenly the gossip, the criticism, it doesn't feel like who we are anymore. Suddenly the conversations that we have at work with our buddies just doesn't feel right anymore. Suddenly the Holy Spirit starts to change our desires. Suddenly our motivation in life, trying to get ahead, trying to get on top, doesn't matter who I step on the way up, suddenly our motivations begin to change. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives you the power to become as he reveals who God is in you. And if you will open up your heart tonight, doesn't matter how far away you are, he will set your path straight. Because the Spirit of God empowers you. And the Spirit of God reveals the glory of God in and through you. And finally tonight, as we close, the Spirit of God unites us. The Spirit of God empowers, reveals, and unites. When you look to the heart of Jesus, you see very clearly what mattered the most to him. Before he was crucified, he had one final moment to talk to God the Father. In John chapter 17, if you knew that your death was imminent, you only had one more conversation, what would you talk to God about? Probably the thing that was the most important to you. So I want you to hear from the mouth of Jesus what was the most important thing to him. John chapter 17 says this: I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Who's he talking about? He's actually talking about you. It's amazing that you were on his mind as he was about to head to the cross. Those who will believe through their word. What does he mean? That those early witnesses, today we know the message of Jesus because of their word. He's talking about you. This is what he's praying. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. The glory that you've given me, I have given to them, that they might be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Do you see a pattern there? The cry of Jesus' heart before he went to the cross was that you and I would be one. That we would be unified through the Spirit of God. That we wouldn't try to run this race on our own, but that we would link arms and that we would begin to move forward. Hear me, God is love. That's who he is. Yes, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. But hear me, God pulls out one of those attributes, and that's love. And he says, if you boil it all down to one thing, it's about love, because I am love. And it's God's will that his Spirit be revealed throughout the earth through our love for one another. Only the Spirit of God can give us the ability to love the world the way that God loves the world. To love unconditionally. It doesn't even make sense to the world around us, but through the Spirit it's possible. The Bible tells us this: above all else, put on love. Put it on like a garment. How do you put it on? Through the words you speak. Through your actions, through your motivations, you put it on. And it says, put on love, for it's the perfect bond of unity. You say, Don Shree, how do you have a church in the middle of a middle school every week? We don't have to have all the resources in the world. We put on love. It's the power we need to see our city change through the glory of Jesus. You say, how do you create a culture in your home when you don't have everything that you need? You put on love. And you watch as the atmosphere in your home goes from one of chaos to peace. How do I heal the broken places of my marriage? You put on love, forgiveness, hope, joy. And you watch as you put on love, the unity that comes back into your relationship. Love is our only hope. And hear me, we can do all the acts that we want. We can see all the miracles take place. But we know that without love, it profits nothing. We know that it's absolutely empty without love. The Spirit unifies us. Unity is not uniformity. It does not mean that you look exactly like me and I look exactly like you, that we talk the same and that our journey is exactly the same. Unity means that we walk in the same direction. That you run your race and I'll run my race. But we'll both run it knowing that heaven is behind us and the Spirit of God is within us and eternity awaits us. That's what unity means, and that's what God created the church to be. Empowered by the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God keeps the main thing the main thing. When we're not led by the Spirit, we get caught up in bitterness. We get caught up in gossip. We get caught up in dissension. We get caught up in control. We get caught up in manipulation. But when we're led by the Spirit, our love permeates the atmosphere. And the world can't help but take notice. I was at a birthday party not too long ago, actually for Manny. We joined together. We hung out at an Italian restaurant, had some really yummy pasta, and we were talking and hanging, and we had the baby strollers, and people were just piling in. It was a big old table, and we laughed, and we talked, and then at the end of the meal, just like we do anytime we get together if it's somebody's birthday, we did an honor circle. You say, what's an honor circle? It's just a part of our culture. We take the time to honor the person whose birthday it is. And we actually verbally speak out one by one what we appreciate about that person and speak life over them. We just believe that life is too short not to verbalize our gratitude for the people around us. We ran around the circle and we began to speak life over Manny. We began to tell him how much we love him. And then we prayed for him. Didn't create a big scene in the restaurant. Just quietly prayed for him. Then we continued to enjoy the night. And as we got up to leave, there was a couple that had been sitting and kind of eyeing us the whole time in the restaurant. And as we walked by, she said, hey, are you guys from VOO Church? We're like, yeah, we are. She said, I've been coming the last few weeks and I love it. It's awesome. And then she pointed at her husband. She was like, I've been trying to get him to come. And he just looked at us and with the most genuine smile, he said, I decided that I'm gonna be there this Sunday. You know, as I walked out of that restaurant, I thought, you know, I don't think it was a sermon that he needed to hear. I don't think he even needed a postcard in the mailbox. I think the most powerful invitation that he could see is a testimony of the unity of the love of God. Us just doing life together, us speaking life, us allowing the Spirit of God to empower us. In the most ordinary moments, the Spirit of God makes it extraordinary, right? We're starting this collection of talks, the Acts of the Apostles. But hear me, it's truly the Acts of the Spirit. Because there is no power without the Spirit of God. And there is no revelation without the Spirit of God. And there is no unity without the Spirit of God. And for us as a church, we've got to understand that we can't jump ahead and try to do all the acts. No, it always starts with being aware, with being open, with being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's God's plan for your life today and for every single season of your life. We can try to skip the Spirit. But if you'll stop trying to skip the Spirit and actually surrender fully to Him, you'll go on the ride of your life. You will see acts take place in your life of the miraculous that you could never dream. Because there is peace of the Spirit waiting for you. There's joy of the Spirit waiting for you. Maybe today you need direction. There's direction straight from the Spirit of God waiting for you. If you will live a life that is led of the Spirit.
Our community at VOO Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at voochurch.com or on any social media platform at VOO Church.